So I'm going to assume that your love of sports preceded your interest in psychology.
Oh, sure. Growing up in my house in Kansas City, it was basically wall-to-wall bat and ball. I mean, sport was a big thing in my house growing up. I mean, my brothers and I played sports, particularly my younger brother was a very good athlete. And we were avid sports fans, particularly for the Kansas City Royals, because back in the 70s and 80s, I mean, they were very, very good. And you could plan on them every year going to the playoffs and plan on them every year getting knocked out of the playoffs. I mean, it was a pretty religious experience because it was very cyclical. So, yeah, I mean, sport predates my interest in psychology by, a couple decades.
And how far into your career did the idea hit you that you could meld these two things together?
Yeah, so when I was in the doctoral program in social psych at the University of Kansas, one of our first assignments, and I'm talking like the first week or two in the program, was to go discuss with other grad students how their research program was going, what they were doing. And every time I'd go talk to one of them, they kept telling me how bored they were. They weren't really into it. It didn't, motivate them and energize them. And pretty early on, I figured out, well, if I'm going to be doing this stuff for the next 4 years and probably for my career after that, I might want to find something I care about. And it just so happened that there was a riot, a soccer riot that was on the news or Sports Center or something. And I was just kind of talking about it with one of the professors, and her eyes kind of lit up a little bit. And she's like, well, that's kind of an interesting topic. I said, yeah, I think I might want to start studying sports fans and kind of what drives their behavior and why they're so, crazy in some of the things that they do. And drawing from my own past experience as a fan, certainly it had, made a difference in my life, mostly to the good, but certainly there were times that, the team didn't perform where I wanted it to, and we were sad and depressed and crying and things like that. So first year of grad school, and then it just snowballed from there and has never stopped since. That's 1987, so it's going strong all these years.
And how well traveled was that road of research when you decided to look into fandom and the psychology of sports fans?
Yeah, there was no road. So not only was the road not traveled, no one had even bothered to map out where the road was going to go. That's both a blessing and a curse, because it's a blessing in that it made the possibility for me to develop my own niche, right? To find my own line of research and kind of make an independent program that no one had ever sort of attempted. The drawback of that is that there was nothing to sort of go from, right? So you're kind of inventing everything on the fly. I can remember we had to develop a scale to measure how identified or how psychologically connected fans are to their team. And I can remember thinking that there's not only is there not a scale to improve upon, there's not even anybody writing about this to give us ideas about what the scale should be in the first place. So, my advisor, Nyla Branson, I just kind of sat in her office and over a course of about an hour and a half kind of came up with these items. And that scale has now been cited and used over 1,000 times on Google Scholar. And it's so funny to look back and think there was nothing to go on. I mean, there were a few people that had spoken sort of peripherally about fans, but there was no line of research, no program from anybody at that time.
Do you remember the first time that an outside entity, maybe a sports or entertainment entity or something not scholarly, contacted you and was interested in the work that you were doing?
I can't say I remember the first time that I was contacted by the media or maybe a consulting opportunity. Some of the earliest, I remember that Coca-Cola contacted me in the late 1990s, mid to late 1990s, and they wanted me to come down to Atlanta and help them sort of understand better this data set that they had about Olympic sports fans. And I can remember thinking, yeah, this is a great opportunity. I get a chance to consult, and they flew me down there, and I thought, I'd be looking at a couple hundred, responses. Their sample was over 40,000 people, and it dawned on me what money can get you in terms of research. I was so amazed and so impressed. And then the other thing I remember distinct from about that same time period was the New York Times had contacted me and did a piece on me in the late 1990s, and it was one of the front page articles. And evidently, at that time, a lot of people read the New York Times, because the number of contacts I got after that, it skyrocketed. So those two things kind of ring a bell as two of the earlier, sometime in the mid to late 1990s.
So the Brummer lecture is coming up, and I guess your conversation will be generalities about the ABCs of sports fandom, what we know and where we should go. So briefly, what will you be talking about?
Yeah, I think that one thing that I like to point out in my talks about fans is that there's a lot more to it than the lay public probably thinks. In other words, it's sports fans are not just simply sitting around watching a game and, you know, it just is sort of mindlessly being entertained. It's not like they're watching their favorite sitcom or, you know, maybe their favorite reality TV show. Being a sports fan is much more than that. It really impacts the human experience a lot more than I think a lot of people understand until you point it out to them, and then they kind of step back and they say, oh, you know what, you're right, this is a bigger deal than I had really sort of given it credit for being. So in the talk at the Brummer series, what I'll be discussing are what we call the ABCs of psychology: affect, behavior, and cognition, or how we feel and what we do and how we think. And I'll be talking about how sport fandom, the fact that we follow teams and sports and players, really does impact our emotional state. It really does impact what we do. It really does impact how we think and how we perceive the world. And then I'll also be talking about it's the big picture, in that one thing that fandom does is it helps to meet basic psychological needs, things like the need to belong. It allows us to feel a sense of connection to those around us. So if you're in Murray, Kentucky, and you're a Racer basketball fan, particularly this time of the year, it's very hard to feel lonely, right? You're walking through Walmart and you see these people that are wearing the same types of jackets and hats and shirts that you're wearing, and there's a section of the Racer stuff there, and it's hard to feel alienated in this society, in this town, in this, you know, this part of Kentucky, if you're a Racer fan. So it gives you the sense of belonging, but it also can provide a sense of distinctiveness that can allow people to kind of feel unique. Our ultimate goal in life is to fit in while standing out, right? We want to fit in, but we don't want to be exactly like everybody else. We don't want to be an exact replica. So, you know, you can be a sports fan that follows the local team and fit in, but you can also be a fan of a team that, you know, maybe really not a whole lot of people in that part of the country follow. So you're going to fit in, but you're going to be unique. You're going to be different. You're going to be distinct as well. And so I'll be talking about how people can use sport to meet these very powerful psychological needs.
Are there a couple of things that, after over three decades of studying fandom and sports psychology, that surprise you now, or that maybe your perception of has changed due to your research or experience?
Yeah, I'll say that one thing that has changed is my understanding of the power of sport. You know, I think when I first got into this, I didn't realize how big of a deal it was. As a matter of fact, I can remember when people would talk to me about my research program, we're going back again to the 90s and the early 2000s, and, you know, they'd say, what do you do? And I'd tell them the research that I do on sports fans, and I'd say, man, that's really neat. And my line was always, well, yeah, I guess, but I'm not exactly curing cancer. Even back then, I didn't understand the power of sport. And it's been sort of through this journey of, you know, gathering all of this data and looking at the literature and watching the literature blow up and starting to figure out that, you know, it really does matter, that people's lives are enriched, right? There's very clear research showing that the more you identify with a local sport team, the better your social psychological health is. I mean, this stuff matters to people. So I'd say that's one thing that really stands out as far as, you know, changing my perception on this journey. And the other is just how much people enjoy hearing about research on sports fans, right? I get that the vast majority of people out there are sports fans, but boy, do they love to talk about the research on sports fans, because it resonates with them, right? They're like, oh yeah, that's me, or yeah, that's my sister, or that's my husband, or that's my wife, that's my kids. They either, it hits home for them, or it hits home for someone that they know.